Merry Christmas to you. It's good to gather, even if we can't see as clearly as we sometimes do. It's good to gather in God's presence, the light and the life of men. As Robert read at the beginning of the service, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In just a couple of minutes, we'll sing some other familiar words. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Would you agree? Is your Christmas Eve so far full of serenity and peace? When you think about your life and your home, if we were to perhaps shine a bright light on your household about 5 hours ago, would you describe that saying, all is calm and all is bright? There's a winter festival on 124th Street, a few blocks west of here, that's called All is Bright. You may have been there. It's when they light up the street and even the trees, many of the trees, to kick off the pre-Christmas shopping season. And if you've seen that, you've probably been had your breath taken away by that beautiful sight. All the colors, all the ice, it's just something to behold. All is bright. I've been contemplating that phrase this December. It almost seems as if it's a descriptor that applies to the lives that we all are trying to live, at least the lives that we present outwardly to the world. All is bright. All is bright in a society of carefully manicured images, presented not just physically, the way we dress and the way we present in person, but also through social media as we carefully present our best face forward. Have you ever tried to take a selfie and post it? You don't just take one selfie, you take 17 selfies. And then you take the best one, and you post that. And then sometimes you even take the post down and you think, no, that didn't look quite right, I'm going to do it right. Why do we do this? Why do we want to show just the right face? All is bright. Looking at the bright lights in the city of Edmonton can be mesmerizing, even hypnotic these days. Those of you who live near the downtown area have probably seen the massive LED billboard that they've put on top of that new Edmonton Tower. It faces north, and you can literally see it from miles away. I bet you can even see it from the CFB base north of Edmonton. With so much to fill our eyes, to dazzle our souls, can we really see anymore? In a society and a city where there seems to be a constant need to outshine the competition, is it possible to really see anything anymore? The light shines in the darkness. There's a paradox here, and a reason that I'm inviting you, making you, sit in the darkness tonight. Unexpectedly, darkness is necessary for light to be visible, isn't it? This is why it's hard to see your phone screen when you're standing in bright sunlight. If everything were light, then there would just be whiteness, there would be a white void, and you couldn't actually see. The darkness is the canvas, then, upon which the light of hope is painted. The light shines in the darkness, writes John. In the darkness, the light shines in our darkness. And that's why it's important to acknowledge that we do carry this darkness in us, this underbelly, this negative, this selfie which we would never post, but which lurks behind all of the bright, beautiful smiles and witty captions. I wonder if you've ever been to a truly dark place. I mean, it gets dark at night, I know. It gets dark when you turn the lights off, but there's usually at least some light, some ambient light, a distant street light. Even the stars, if you're outside the city, can provide some point of reference for our eyes. But what about complete darkness? Have you ever experienced that? My friend Brad and I, when we were younger, we explored an abandoned mine shaft in Abbotsford one time. It was one of those experiences where you have this sinking feeling, like I really think I probably shouldn't be here, but anyways, we went. We hiked down into this mine. And for a while, there was this faint light coming in from the open mouth of the mine shaft, but the hole just kept going deeper and deeper into the mountain. And of course, we brought lights with us, but then we got way down in there, and we decided to turn them off. There is a darkness that is the complete absence of any light. And it's difficult to describe, but it's like your eyes are suddenly switched off. And your mind begins to panic almost immediately. It's like the blackness rushes at you. It's like a claustrophobic blackness. And after a minute or so of total darkness, your eyes adjust and your pupils completely dilate, and then even the tiniest bit of light seems brilliant. I remember I had a watch there back in those days that had that green illuminated backlit face. And when I pressed that backlit face, I thought, whoa, I can see again, and I could shine it and even shine up the walls with it. And then we lit a match, and one match illuminated the whole stony room where we were standing, and a single candle then provided enough light that we could look into our backpacks and get a snack. What about your life? What happens when you shut off the bright lights? What happens when you switch off the phone, disconnect the power? What happens when you don't put makeup on? What happens when you find yourself in a quiet place, alone, and you just sit and you let the noise and the lights fade from your mind? What bubbles up to the surface when it's just you? And it seems to me that many of us are unfamiliar with what happens because we never do that. I pulled up to a red light just the other day. I was heading to the West End, and I was sitting in my car at this red light, and I'm going to estimate that I was there for about 10 to 15 seconds. You know, my phone was in the back seat in my shoulder bag. I couldn't reach for it, thankfully. I had the radio off for some reason, and so it was just quiet. I mean, there was traffic all around me, but for a minute, I had nothing to do. 10 seconds, actually. You know, in 10 seconds, I reached for the radio knob, not thinking, just sort of as an automatic, twice I reached for it, thinking, no, I don't think I need the radio on. It's almost impossible, at least for me, to sit quietly and do nothing. To cultivate silence in my life takes an enormous effort of the will. I wonder how it is for you. Do you have the strength, the courage to switch off the lights? Do you have the self-control to let all of the chatter die down and just to listen to your life? Christmas. So we come to Christmas. It might be the most wonderful time of the year, some say so, but it's also the hardest time of the year to think clearly, at least for me. It's very difficult to be a single person at Christmas and to not have your family around. It's very difficult when you're in the midst of broken relationships to celebrate, to smile. And it's certainly the busiest and noisiest and brightest and most expensive time of the year for most of us. Christmas. It's supposed to be fun. And there is some fun. But when all the artificial lights are switched off and all the noise dies down, there is also this eternal light at the center of all our celebrations. Sometimes it takes a little bit of switching off to see him again. Jesus, the Word made flesh. He's at the middle of all of this. John writes, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." I've been pondering those words all month as I've visited some of our people who can't get out of their houses very easily anymore. Reading John 1, verses 1 to 14, to those whose bodies are almost used up, who can't get out of their beds anymore, who don't dream of taking selfies anymore. Reading John 1, 1 to 14, the life which is the light of men, with those whose minds are becoming cloudy, those whose minds are becoming darkened, who no longer recognize even their families or myself as I come into the room anymore. It's in the darkness of human need that the light of Jesus truly begins to shine. And perhaps you're aware, on some vague level at least, that you have that need in yourself. And if you're like most people, taking a look at that need scares you, and you go to great lengths to try and shove it back down there into the depths of your soul, and you mask it with distractions and entertainment and accomplishments, and you remind yourself of all the wonderful things that you have to celebrate, and yet there it is, like a room with no doors and no windows and no lights in the center of a house, like a cavern, a cave in the center of a mountain. Do you know your need? Jesus comes gently. Jesus comes gently. That's the essence of the Christmas story. Jesus comes gently as a baby born humbly and unexpectedly without fanfare, save for the angels singing to a few shepherds out in a field in Palestine. We would have missed it along with the rest of the world had we been alive back then. Jesus came quietly, unnoticed, and yet he was the Word made flesh, the light of the world, and in him was life, true life, which is the light that we are all clamoring for somewhere in the depths of our souls. Jesus comes gently to you tonight. Dear friends, God gives you a gift, and it's the gift of his one and only Son. And in him you will find true light and life, unlike anything else in all the universe. I can't describe it for you. You have to experience it for yourself. This tiny baby who grew up to be a man shows us the essence of true and real and meaningful life. He wasn't flashy and famous like most celebrities today. He wasn't loud and forceful like most politicians. He was gentle and inviting and full of love. And he showed us what life is by giving his life away, by walking in sacrificial love straight into the hands of his enemies who crucified him on a Roman cross. They thought they had defeated this humble king who died, who didn't fit their expectations of what a leader should do. But Jesus was the Word made flesh. He was life itself. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. So make room for him tonight. Make room for him. Prepare a place, a dark and a quiet place, where his light can begin to shine in you, where you can see it. I heard a fellow pastor say the prerequisite for the kind of life that Jesus brings is boredom. I had a hard time with that thought at first, but give it a second try. The prerequisite for the kind of life that Jesus brings is boredom. So instead of reaching for your phone or the radio or that third or fourth or tenth piece of pie or that glass of wine or whatever you might feel inclined to reach for to fill the void, prepare a place. Just wait. Wait until all is calm. And then let Jesus shine in you and fill you with the light of life. Amen.